Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
So let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Crack Podcast. Oh man, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Crack Podcast. You're on with your host Mauricio Mookie Wilson, and I'm pleased to announce my two guests. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Crack Podcast. Host Mauricio Mookie Wilson, and I love to introduce my two co-hosts. Let's give a big round of applause for DeMarcus Beasley and the Bro Gucci.
Yeah, I like that.
Short
and sweet.
I hate it.
That's 2 weeks in a row you've done the same intro.
Hey, listen, I'm going to switch it up again. I can't keep it the same, man. I can't give the same pass every time or play the same type of formation, man. It's too boring. We're not here for that, man. Blazing. I hope everybody finds us well today. It's raining cats and dogs here in New York City, and I'm glad to see that Bees is not in Houston stranded with no water.
Yeah, but I still don't have no background.
No background. And Gooch has switched up on us, and he has a whole new background where he's flossing his All-American.
Same room, same background.
Hey, is that one picture? Is that you in college or something?
Wait, this one?
No, the one on the other side. Yeah, that one. Was that a high school picture?
That one is college. Below it is Obama.
Oh, yeah. You gotta throw that one in. You gotta throw that out.
Hey, don't worry about that. Me and Big B, yeah, we sang it.
Well, Bees, you got him beat. You have the current president that, you know, who gave you a coin or something like that.
Yeah, he did. I mean, Gooch, were you there? You met Biden, didn't you?
Yeah.
He toured us
around the White House.
Yeah. While Obama was doing something, I think he had some other meeting he was finishing up. So Biden took us around the White House.
I bet if he was basketball, Obama would have cut that meeting.
He would have cut that meeting. It was cool. It was cool being in the White House to see them.
I'm smiling from ear to ear. You know, my Arsenal team is balling. But I wanted to talk to you guys and see your point.
Balling? Really?
What are they in? Eighth, ninth place? Yeah. Tenth?
Balling?
I said they are balling. Had nothing to do with the record. Had nothing to do with they are playing good football. And we have some consistency. Our defense is solid. Our attack is still getting there. And our midfield is developing with my band Partey.
Hey, but Mourinho had the best comment. When they were asking, you know, how you get beat by Arsenal, blah, blah, blah. He said, I don't quote me on this because I can't remember exactly word for what he said, but he said, I don't look below me.
he said, I don't look down.
I don't look down. That's it. Yeah, that's it. That's a gangster comment right there. Yeah.
Which is true. This is true, you know, and that's why we beat them up. And, you know, that's just the reality.
Yeah, but they didn't give too much of a game, to be honest. Tottenham. I watched that game. I don't watch Arsenal very much, but I watched that game, and it was Tottenham.
Mookie's making me hate Arsenal. I don't want to hate Arsenal, but he makes me.
Arsenal fans are like Dallas Cowboys fans. It don't matter what position they in.
It's like Philly, like Philly Eagles, just obnoxious.
They're always going to win. They're always going to go to the final. They're always going to win three or four championships, three or four cups. That's the same with Dallas Cowboy fans. They always think they have a terrible offseason, a terrible season last season, and they think, oh yeah, now we're going to the ship. We the best team in the country. The same thing.
It's funny you said that. I think we're the second best team in terms of playing football currently.
There we go.
Really?
Yeah, but right. Currently, you're the 10th best team in the table. So let's just.
Everybody has a past, Gooch. We had a tough beginning of the season.
But I'm telling you, that's their current. That's their present, not their past.
Yeah, but that's the past got to stay to the 10th.
You can't even say he's like the.
But you know, I just want to let everybody know. Our guest today is coach or former coach Carrie Taylor, who was the first women's assistant coach.
No. She wasn't the first
in USL.
She was not the first. She was in this current era USL, but like not the first in USL.
Can you explain that? So there's another era.
One before her.
The former era USL.
Yeah, apparently.
Okay, so Kerry Taylor is a coach who coached at a San Diego Loyal, who when the team first inaugural season was appointed assistant coach by Landon Donovan, but so much things to learn from her in terms of across the board her experiences and what she's accomplished in the U.S. landscape. So it's definitely an exciting person to have on, a lot to learn. But back to Arsenal. You saw I don't know if you guys realize, Gooch, but they benched my captain, about my blood clot, Yang, for coming late, not to the game, but to a pre-meeting before the game. And, you know, it's an important game, rivalry against Tottenham. We need every point. And for Arteta to have the balls to bench this person, you know.
The captain.
Huh?
I said the captain. He's the captain of the squad,
and he gets paid over $300,000 a week. So you got it. So your owner wants to know what the hell is going on. Gooch, would you bench your captain for coming 5-10 minutes late to a meeting prior to the game? An important game that you
200%. And I salute Arteta for that move because it sets a precedent, right? Just because you're the captain doesn't mean you get. Treated differently than somebody else that, you know, was on the bench or what have you. It sucks. And everyone wants to say, oh, you know, he was just a little bit later. He's the captain. We need him. Great. If he felt the same way, he wouldn't have been late, in essence.
But what if things happen, right? And if he's – does it matter if he's a half an hour late or 2 minutes late?
Late is late.
Late is – you know who said it? Coach John Ellinger said – if you're on time, you're late. You have to be you have to be early to be on time.
Yep. I remember that.
I remember in college, I got to we had a game in North Carolina and we were taking the bus from Virginia and I got there 5 minutes late and the bus left me. I might have been 5 minutes Jamaican late. It might have been like 15.
Might have been 15, 20. Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
You probably say, yeah, right downstairs. I'm right downstairs. You're still in the room.
But my problem was that it was a reason for that. The time changed, and this before Twitter.
It's always a reason and an excuse.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, but it doesn't mean time changed, and nobody informed me that the time has changed. And
how old are you? How old are you?
I was probably maybe 19.
And you need people to give you a text to tell you that the daylight savings?
No, the time changed meaning the time we were leaving, right? Say we're supposed to leave at 1 o'clock. 1:30, even at 1 o'clock,
everyone knew for you?
Because for me, I was trying to run across campus to take care of some things that had nothing to do with soccer, back to the bus while everybody else was early waiting around.
I can't even. I came from because I gotta. It just crossed my mind a story about me and being late with the national team. Before a World Cup qualifier. And I won't go into details, but it was...
Where are we right now, Gooch?
Go into detail. I need names. I need names,
as much details as I can.
Accomplices.
Okay, I'll give you accomplices. So it was me. It was me and Clint Matthews, basically. Uh-huh. And I think it's some other people that wasn't a part of the squad that week. But anyway, long story short, we was in New York. And the next day... we were supposed to leave to, you know, to qualify. It was, I think we were going to Grenada or something. Grenada, how you say that. We're going there to play. And, you know, we had it set up that the bus was leaving at, you know, say, I think maybe noon. So, you know, Clint and I, we went out in New York City. He showed me around. That's the night I met Leonardo DiCaprio. He's in the same spot that, you know, I'm saying that we was in. I'll never get this story.
Obviously.
And so
Clint Mathis ran.
So when it happened, yeah, Clint Mathis was a legend on off the field.
He ran.
But, so how it happened was the time of our the bus that was leaving changed.
Oh,
so it wasn't noon.
You threw in one of Mookie's excuses.
Yeah, but they changed the date. They changed the time of us.
It happens, Gooch.
Hotel. No, they changed the time for us leaving the hotel, and we didn't know about it because, you know, they were texting everybody, so they thought, you know, it's easy. Everybody's in their room. Bruce is the coach. Everybody is in their room. Pam texted everybody and said, hey, we're leaving in half an hour. And me and Clint, we still in the club. We still at the spot. And we like, you know, we was like, oh man, you know, blah, blah, blah. So then we had a like a short meeting, and you know, we went downstairs to where everybody's getting ready. And Bruce is like, where's B's? Where's Clint? And we're like, and you know, everybody's trying to say, oh, they're in the room, you know, just bring them down, blah, blah, blah. And Pam, bless her heart, was trying to help us. We're like, you know, trying to stall to get more time and access where it's at. We jumped in a taxi and headed right to the airport. I remember this. And then, but Pam was like, no, you know, and obviously Bruce got pissed and he heard about what happened and why we wasn't there. So Bruce was like, yo, just tell him to meet us at the airport. So we got to the airport, as me and Clint sitting by ourselves. We got there before the team. And Bruce walked by and he's like, let me talk to y'all. And he's like, yo, you're going to come to the game, but you're not playing. I'm not going to play you. You know, you disrespected the team. It doesn't matter if we change the time or not. You guys went out before, like two, I think it was like 3 days before we were about to play. Before the game, when you guys weren't supposed to, you guys should have been in your room resting, all that nonsense. So long story short, again, we had the veterans of the team. They went and talked to Bruce, and like, Bruce, because I was supposed to start. And they went to Bruce, like, hey, Bruce. It was like Claudio, I think Berhalter was there maybe, and some other the older guys. And they're like, Bruce, I mean, hey, we want B's to play. We need B's to play. This is when I was playing and starting and scoring. And they were like, I know he effed up, but, you know, we need him to play. Can you pass us off? They, you know, maybe they do a fine or whatever, but we need him to play and start. And long story short, I talked to Bruce. They said the players vouched for me to play. I ended up playing. I ended up having to.
What about Clint?
Clint didn't play. Clint didn't play. And but I went and I had to. I had to use all my, you know, game bonus money, whatever, for the charity of, you know, my choice. So that was great in that. But yeah, that was I remember that story with me and Clint going to New York because I met. For one, I met Leonardo DiCaprio.
Worth it?
And two, no, it was definitely not worth it. It was not worth it. Because it was before a qualifier. You know what I'm saying? We're in New York.
Was the charity of your choice the DeMarcus Beasley Fund?
That's what I wanted to be, the Beasley National Soccer School.
Gooch, I think I was there that night, man. Leo was
there. You might have been there that night.
Yeah, I think the club was named Sway. But listen, I ain't going to talk about that. Listen, I saw an article, Mönchengladbach, a team in Bundesliga, the U23 coach recently, he got in some trouble in the game and he was suspended. And I guess the Bundesliga gave him a punishment. He had to, I think it was like 1,500 euros was his punishment for his mannerism on the sideline. And also they told him that he had to coach the U23 women's team for 6 sessions. Don't you think that's kind of disrespectful to the women's game? I mean, to act like that's a punishment is to go coach the women's team.
Was it the U23 team?
Yeah.
So did they say it was punishment?
Did it? Well, it was part of his discipline was to.
I'm with you on that. They used the word punishment.
Who did? That's the club or the FIFA?
Well, the
club didn't do it. It's not the FIFA, but the federation in Bundesliga who put out the sanction, who put out the discipline, said that it's $1,500 fine, €1,500 fine, plus you have to go do 6 sessions with the women's team.
Like a criminal has to do community service or something like that.
Exactly, basically.
And wow. I tell you what, they said that they called back for a response after, you know, the article came out about punishment, and they refused. So they don't care that
they don't value
that word. Yeah, they don't care that the word punishment was used. I think that's what they intended to be. And yeah, it's 100% disrespectful, sexist, any other word you can use, because I think football is football.
Football is football.
You know, and if the coach is, if he was, you know, I think he was unsporting behavior towards referees, then he get his fine and whatever other fines you should have. But to say that as punishment is coaching women's soccer, that's disgusting for me. That's in my opinion.
It's ignorant. It's tone deaf. It's everything.
It's dumb.
It's just dumb. It's stupid. And yeah, I don't know who even approved that message to even go out into the world. That's ridiculous right now. Oof. I don't know. It's dumb. It's silly.
So it shows you how far, how much more that, you know, European countries, particularly Germany, has to go in terms of how they treat and value the women's game, and at least at a club level, as we should say, you know. But somebody who's definitely been fighting and been a leader in the women's game in this country is our next guest. I want to bring to the room. Let's give a big welcome and much love to Coach Carrie Taylor.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Carrie. Good morning.
Nice to meet you. And Gooch, good to see you again.
Damn, she got the professional setup with the microphone.
Yeah, she does.
I like well, that. I like that Peyton in the
I
background.
Host my own. I yeah. host my own. You like my poster?
You make it look bad.
Yeah, we lose it in life right now.
That's all right. So that poster was from the Women's March in Washington, like right after Trump won, and everyone was totally pissed off. So I got that. Somebody handed it to me. I rolled it up, put it in my suitcase, took it home. And that's like literally my favorite trinket that I've ever gotten, because it meant so much. Nice. And it was just like a powerful moment. So thank you for liking my poster.
No worries.
Carrie, when we get off of this podcast, you're going to have to hit up DeMarcus Beasley and teach him how to put together a professional.
Hey, I'm at my mama house. So y'all got to cut me some slack.
Mama, big shouts to Mama Bees.
I do gotta say, I do like your banner too. My uncle went to Michigan.
Oh, cool.
So I know you're from Flint. I know you're from Flint. My uncle went to Michigan, so he's all ready for the March Madness.
Yeah.
And he loves Juwan Howard. And
when was he there? Do you know what years? Man,
I want to say, I don't remember. It's definitely in the 90s.
Okay. In the 90s. I'm old, so I was there 90 through 94 when the Fab Five were there. So
yeah, he was there then. Yeah.
It was awesome.
Okay.
All right. I probably partied with your uncle. I was about
to say. Probably did. Yeah, he's not shy about his drinks. So that's what's up.
Well, listen. Are you currently in Michigan right now, Carrie?
No, I'm in San Diego. So got some sunshine going on.
Well, I want our listeners to know that Carrie was the first appointee by Mr. Landon Donovan when the franchise. She's a firster, right? The first team. And she was appointed assistant coach of the men's USL championship team down in San Diego. And that's how we got myself and Bees. I know we first heard about you, but your story and your soccer legacy travels all the way back to Flint.
All the way back to Flint Town. I'm a Flintstone.
Hey, listen, Carrie, I'll be honest with you. Before we talk about soccer, I want to talk about a little bit about Fab Five experience in that time.
Yeah.
Period.
Absolutely.
You know, how cool that was to be on Michigan campus when the whole world, because myself, you know, I was in high school that time and, you know, all my shorts were baggy. I had black socks playing on varsity.
They changed the culture.
Tell us a little bit about the impact on campus and kind of how it changed the parties.
Woo. Yeah. So I was a sophomore when they came in, and I mean, talk about like vibe and hype and just swag. It was unbelievable. And I had basketball season tickets, 91 and 92. So, wow. I mean, the guys were there like 2 years, but the excitement that they brought to campus, the competitiveness, the just like, we're going to shock their mantra was, we're going to shock the world. And it was unreal. And I remember like vividly, I think, I don't know which year it was, but they went to the playoffs in Kentucky and they won, and like the guys were up on the scorers table, like yes. doing the cabbage patch and everything. And I was like, oh, it's on. And it was just, it was so much fun. And then I also remember like the crushing, heartbreaking when Weber called the timeout and like,
crazy.
I was devastated because truth be told, my soccer number was 4. Chris Weber was 4. I remember watching that game and we're all playing a drinking game. And every time Chris scored, like if you had to pick a player and every time your player scored, you had to take a drink. So Weber was mine and then he messed up. And I just remember like I was literally crying when that happened just because, you know, as a student, you got so into it and it was amazing. And, you know, Juwan is the head coach now. And that to me is so special because, you know, he might've come to a couple of our house parties. So I remember, you know, being around him a little bit, but his big thing was he always wanted to.
He actually tried to stay politically correct.
I was going to ask you, how many points did Chris Weber score that day?
I don't remember. Yeah. I don't remember. I think a few, cause yeah. I think I was a little buzz, but Juwan was always just the level calm one in the group, I think, of the Fab Five. And his big thing was, and like Gooch, I know you did this as well. He went back and finished his degree. And because he made that promise to his mom.
Right.
And, you know, now he's come full circle and he's coaching at the school that he had such a big impact on. So I have the utmost respect for Juwan Howard and just what he's been able to do, you know, as a person, as a basketball coach, as a human. I think his son now plays for him as well, which that would
be. I'm so glad you brought that up because recently Juwan had a little controversy and you as a coach, I wanted to, I want you to chime in on that. Juwan obviously was coaching Michigan University. I forgot who they're playing against. And there was a controversial call and Juwan was animated and the opposing coach kind of like rushed towards him. And Juwan, who's from Chicago, was like, listen, I don't care where I am, but if somebody's going to rush towards me, I have to be going defense mode. And he kind of obviously overreacted and it was the teammates trying to hold him back because he really wanted to understand from the coach's point of view what he was trying to do. But in saying that, do you have, I know you're a very intense person and very competitive. Do you have any, have you had any altercations or any moments on the sidelines with the opposing coach?
Ooh, yeah. I'll put it this way. You can take the girl out of Flint, but sometimes you can't take the Flint out the girl. Yeah, I mean, from a coaching perspective, you're human still, you know, and while you're trying to embody all the leadership qualities and you're trying to, you know, hold it together for your players, like, yeah, there's times where, you know, I've been called a soccer mom. I've been called like, ooh. who's this B think she is, you know, like ooh. I've been from coaches and, you know, sometimes I've popped, you know, something back at them. Sometimes I've talked to the referee and said, like, let's get a handle on this. But I had a situation. I was coaching a youth game and it was State Cup finals and a coach basically verbally attacked me. And I just told the referee what he said and he actually threw the coach out, but it took a while.
Yeah.
But he removed the coach and, you know, like you're trying not to take anything away from the game or the team, but you know, again, we're all human and the same thing on the soccer field. There's times where somebody hits a trigger and you're going to defend yourself or you're going to stand up for yourself. And we all should stand up for ourselves at different times, but you know,
fight or flight.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think, yeah, everybody has that line, you know, it could be family. It could be some, you know, race, obviously, but everyone has that line where, okay, if you go past that, you know, there's always, you know, you can talk shit, you can, you know, say things about them as a player, whatever, but there's always that line of when you cross that, then
yeah,
there's no more sports.
Beans, what's the line, Beans?
What's up?
What's your line?
Yeah, mine is family and race. Mm-hmm. You can say something about me, how, you know, I I sucked as a player. I'm skinny. I'm bald headed. Any of those things, you know, cool. That's, you know, that's banter. You know what I'm saying?
All,
you
the, get all to, those truths.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, anything like that, I'm cool with. You know, you keep it into in the game. But once you go to family and race, it's a wrap for me. It's, you know, soccer is no more in the conversation.
Yeah.
Makes sense. That makes sense. So Gary has a Sasha Fierce side that comes out every so often. I see on the sideline.
Sometimes, yeah, it can happen. It can happen.
So, oh, and I just got confirmation. My uncle was there, 87 to 91.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
So he might, y'all might have, you know, had some parties, and when he was a upperclassman, and you were coming in. So
yeah, that's cool.
Bees, leave it alone. Your uncle's married now.
I'm just saying. I was texting my uncle, so I'll connect the dots. Yeah.
What happened in Michigan stays in Michigan.
Gary, exactly. So you've been involved at every level, it seems, youth, club, college, professional, now on the executive. I mean, you've been in an executive side before now. What's your favorite role? Ooh. What do you feel like you kind of resonates with you best? Because you've done it all, essentially.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think it's evolved as I've gotten older, to be honest. You know, being on the field, impacting people through coaching, you know, on the field has been a big part of my life. Like, I've coached youth, I've coached high school, college. I enjoyed the college age group for quite a while. So that was impactful. Now I've kind of realized that the grind of being on the field day in and day out, it's kind of, I've reached kind of my quota on that. I'm involved with, you know, the Jamaican women's national team, which that type of, you know, you go into a camp here and there and you're training for big events periodically. Right. That is enjoyable. But as far as, you know, one of the projects that I'm working on now, kind of being more of a, leader, project manager, front office type person. I think that's.
Are you leaving the field?
I will be. Well, I'm not necessarily. Well, no, I have like three jobs. So.
you're a footballer. That's all right. Hey, yeah, listen, you're coaching Jamaican. You're consulting Jamaican national team. I don't know if you know about Jamaicans, but we have 10 jobs. So.
Yeah. well, then I must have some Jamaican in me somewhere. But no, so one of the projects that I'm working on now is to create and get sanctioning for an additional women's professional league in the US. So it'll sit underneath NWSL. So sort of like the USL is to MLS. So that project at this point in my career is really, really resonates with my heart and what I want to do to help grow the game for women.
That's, you know, that's great. I mean, wow, I can't believe I'm just taking in all the things that you just said that you've been involved in. And I think that's incredible. You know, how hard was it to start off a professional team in San Diego? And also, how did you go about getting the job, and as well as even, you know, feeling confident that you can coach on that level in the men's side and feel that you'll be received by them as well?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So, how it came about was, rewind 3.5 years ago. I was working, on the MLS project to try to bring an MLS team to San Diego. And that's kind of how I got connected with Landon. I was working for the ownership group that was kind of putting the money forward.
And we
worked like side by side for 2.5 years. And whatnot. That project failed. It was very heartbreaking, and I think I had some PTSD from it. But then the USL project came along, and Landon was like, "Hey, like, do you want to help out? Like, I'd love your help." And so I was really reluctant at first to get like back into something, because I was kind of thinking like, "What if this fails? Like, I don't want to go through it again," and whatnot. And so, you know, he and I always kind of bounced ideas off of each other, and you know, he would ask my opinion on things. And through that process, one day he called me and he was like, "Hey, what if I hired a female assistant?" And at the time, I didn't really want to get back into coaching, but I blurted out, "Well, well, why don't you consider me?" And then, nice. Then
nice when she said she wasn't even thinking about it.
I wasn't thinking about it, but it just like came out of my mouth. And then it took like a couple months. And one day Landon like was like, "Let's go to lunch." And so we went to lunch and he asked me if I wanted to be his assistant. And, I'd coached men before. I'd started a Division III soccer program at the College of Mount St. Joseph in Cincinnati. And, you know, so I had coached 18 to 22 year olds men before. I had never coached professional men. But, you know, soccer's soccer. And I think if you know the game and you can communicate information and you can be real and authentic with people, like the players responded fine to me. Like I had, you know, I still keep in contact with a lot of them. One of them, we actually might sign for the new project with Stumptown.
Just scalping players.
Well, hey, they got released. They need a place to play. So
they can come to Fort Wayne. I'm just saying, you know.
There you go. Or Bees, you could come out of retirement.
Yeah. More like Gooch.
Yeah. So, you know, as far as being a woman coaching men, again, soccer is soccer. And I was up in NorCal at a Path to Pro event. And I coached a women's team and a men's team at that, you know, player camp or combine or whatever you want to call it. And honestly, I think the coaches and like sometimes outside people have more problem with a female coaching men than the players do. And that, you know,
football, right?
Yeah.
If you have the knowledge, no matter your gender. I wonder to Bees and Gooch, have you guys through your travel ever came across a woman's coach inside of the game or within your club? So that's what makes it so special, right?
I haven't personally. Definitely not in Europe.
So I think we have to credit Landon for having the idea. I thought it came from the ownership group, or I thought maybe you're just the best candidate, right? But Landon specifically wanted to hire a woman's assistant coach. Did he explain to you what was his thought process and what inspired him to do that?
I really don't want to speak for Landon on that. I don't, you know, I can't.
No, I thought he might have told you maybe.
I think he had just, we had worked together for so long that we had built up some trust. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think that it was, you know, to his credit, he does think outside of the box on some things.
Yeah.
I think it was more the fact that, he had seen my work. He had seen, you know, how I carry myself, how I deliver information and different things like that. So, I mean, I would hope that I was like, qualified as a coach and less.
You said that he wanted to hire a women's coach, and then you was like, "What about me?"
Yeah.
So I thought that maybe why was he specifically?
I didn't honestly ask him why he had that thought.
He's
probably going on the whole diversity train and like trying to make be more inclusive in some respect, because nobody else at that time. You know, although she wasn't, I don't believe you're the first female, but I think in this current era, you're the first female coach in the USL. So at that point, there wasn't any kind of visibility of female coaches.
Which is brilliant, right? And it's historic, you know? And that team was a pretty good team that was put together. Did you have, what was your relationship and your ties to San Diego prior to that?
The city. Well, I had come to San Diego to work on the MLS project.
You actually went there to work on it. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then I was up in Orange County area and, working at a youth club up there.
Oh, okay.
Came down to San Diego, and I love San Diego. Like I really don't ever want to leave San Diego.
Is that nice? Right.
How involved were you in building that roster for the first year? Like,
very. So, you know, we announced that the team was coming in June of 2019. And then we hadn't decided on whether it was going to whether we were going to play in 2020 or not. And then our owner said, yeah, let's do it. So we basically put together the team from, I want to say, like October to January when the camp started. So, you know, I was, you know, Landon would send me a group of players and I would watch film and go give like my feedback of, yes, I like this and this player, or this player does this, or this player's body shape is poor when he receives the ball with his left foot, or, you know, just different little things like that. So, you know, we had the paper on the wall and writing, you know, the depth chart and who could play where and all of that. So, you know, I'd like to think that I had a big part in it. And, you know, as a startup team, you know, our philosophy was one that, like, we weren't going to like get a big star to come in and carry the team. It was more about just building a good foundation in year one and guys who fit into the culture. Yeah. And trying to, you know, not put the expectation of like, oh, we have to win in year one. It's like, let's get the culture right in year one and then build on that. So,
you know what I always wondered? I mean, everybody knows of Landon's reputation as a player. Does yeah. that translate in any way as a coach? And don't try and be nice or PC. Like, first of all, this is a crack, right?
This is the crack.
We air everything out. And this for better or for worse,
yeah.
Is he a great coach? Is he an okay coach? Or is he, you know, just a face?
He's a very good man manager. Nate Miller, who is now the associate head coach, Nate and myself to a smaller extent, actually ran the practices. I mean, Landon was there, like he's doing individual coaching. He's, you know, addressing the team. But as far as like putting together the training sessions and implementing the training sessions, at least last year, I can't speak to what's going on this year. That was more, Coach Miller, myself, and our goalkeeper coach.
Answer is he was the face.
Well, I mean, if I would say just to his, I wouldn't say credit because I've never seen him as a coach, but I'm saying because when we were growing up, man management was everything. I mean, when I was at Rangers, Walter Smith, one of the greatest managers in world football at Rangers, he was a man. We would never see him at training.
Right.
You know, I would never. Allie McCoy.
Yeah, but you're talking about a level of football where.
But no, I'm just talking about the.
You have so many coaches.
Level. I'm just talking about that's what he.
Oh, the kind
of
coach.
He probably knows. Yeah, that's what I knew. And not a lot of coaches that I had were, you know, tactical when I was growing up. Were tactical and obviously Bob in Chicago, but it was different. You know, so I can kind of understand where he would relate to that kind of coaching more so than the tactical part. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you guys this. Like when you guys were on the national team and Bruce was the coach, he wasn't running the sessions, was he? He was like overseeing or?
Bruce was a little bit of both.
Yeah, he ran the sessions.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He was a bit of both.
But I think Bruce is known because he is a good person manager.
Right.
Okay.
But he did run sessions as well. That's interesting because I always wanted to know this about Landon because nobody even knew he had interest in coaching until it was announced he was the head coach. So
well, to be honest, I don't think he.
I think he
even realize it. So
didn't he hire himself? Because first he was the general manager or the sporting director or whatever his role.
I mean,
is.
that's job security, right?
Yeah, right. And then he hired himself. He's like, okay, yeah, you know what? I'm going to be the coach.
He's going to get no ideas about you.
No, I ain't touching that.
He was looking at all the lists and he was like, you know what? I'm the best qualified for this right now. Just going to put myself down for it.
So now that we're in, you know, we're speaking about San Diego and some of the good times that you had with the club and starting it and, you know, really having that foundation and the culture of the club. So what made you leave? What made you kind of change your mindset about, okay, you know, this is not for me. I want to go to something different.
Yeah. Great question. I think we all know, being in football for as long as all of us have been, that sometimes all that glitters is not gold. And, you know, that what is portrayed on the outside to the public might not necessarily be the same on the inside. Mm-hmm. And when, you know, when ideas or core values or culture is off, I don't want to say wrong, when that doesn't match, sometimes it's best to just like not continue. And so, you know, that's one thing that, you know, I have like young coaches sometimes reach out to me and they're like, I'm in a club, but I don't feel good. I don't feel that I align with what they're trying to do. Like something's off. And I encourage people to like, you know, if you're in a situation that might not be for, like 100% for you. And like, sometimes you have to have courage and you have to, be okay with taking yourself out of that situation.
Yeah.
Or sometimes that organization might take you out of the situation. So when there's, you know, sometimes some conflict, it's okay to say, you know what, like this isn't working, or this isn't for me, or it's time to move on. So
it wasn't a club that let you go. It was you who decided on your terms that this wasn't for you and you wanted to move on. Or was it mutual?
I think it was more of a mutual situation in some ways. So yeah, I mean, every experience teaches you something, and I wouldn't trade what that experience at Loyal afforded me. It's definitely prepared me for wonderful things in my career. It, you know, I was able to use my skill set to help the club and help Landon and help something grow. But yeah. Again, all that glitters is not gold. Right, that's a good.
I'm curious because from an outsider, all right, and I'm going to speak from like the fans' perspective or people that aren't associated with the club. It's, you know, Landon Donovan, you know, headlines, Carrie Taylor, female first assistant. Then they're making all this splash when the whole homophobic mm-hmm. stuff was said last year, and they seem like this club or they're so woke, right? I need to understand, because that looks, I mean, it's glittering, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, this is gold. Without getting too deep into the weeds, you know. Yeah.
Get deep in the weeds.
All right, get deep in the weeds. Get that
Let's
weed
go.
Whacker.
Let's get
that
go,
real dude. Conversation.
Get that weed whacker out. What was the falsehood behind what they're showing? Is it like it's just two-faced? Is it like they're showing a perspective of them that's just not even real?
Yeah. So I can only speak for me. I can only speak for me personally. Mm-hmm. And what kind of how I felt, how things were with my situation. You know, they said they wanted a female coach. I'm a strong personality, and I'm going to tell you what I think. I'm going to give you my opinion. I am going to fight for what I believe in. And sometimes it was, you know, it was received as, well, Carrie's aggressive or Carrie's hard on people. And I'm like, well, I'm trying to keep a professional standard here. So if somebody's not doing their job, I'm going to hold them accountable. Well, you know, I also have to look at myself. And I think I've had growth, you know, from this experience that, you know, not everybody thinks the way I do, or not everybody works the way I do. So like, I've had to work on myself to say, okay, maybe I need to deliver information to staff in a different way. But, you know, there's a difference between talking the talk and walking the walk. So, you know, I don't want to say it's just with San Diego, like, you know, with the whole Black Lives Matter thing and everything that's been going on in our world and, you know, our presidential, to me, you can't just slap on a t-shirt and be like, yay, I support this. Like, you have to try to live that in everything you do. And if you don't, you're full of shit. Like, honestly, that hacks me off to no end. So, you know, yay, it's great. Everyone's, you know, suddenly everyone's putting on t-shirts and selling Black Lives Matter merchandise.
Mm, talk it, talk, girl.
So no, like, no, don't do, you know, like, don't be a culture vulture. Mm. And, you know, because you're in a Latino community, start selling Dia de los Muertos shirts and have an English guy being the model. Like, hello, like, are people that dumb? No. Well,
is this what you expressed to them and they were like, oh, she's aggressive, she,
well, no, this was after, this was, oh, after. Okay. but this speaks to B's how I am. Like, if, yeah, there's a situation and you ask me my, if Landon asked me my opinion, I didn't care that he was Landon Donovan. I told him what I thought. Like, yeah, I was definitely not a yes person. And there are people out there, you know, that hold famous people to this standard and are like, yeah, whatever you want. And like, you don't want those people. I don't want yes people around me when I'm putting right together the women's pro league. Like, I want people to tell me, Carrie, that's a stupid idea. Why don't you think about this? Or you haven't thought about that. You know,
and that's what you pay for. Yeah. That's your job title, right?
Right. And so, you know, again, it takes two people to interact. It takes two personalities to interact, you know, but when there's situations where like a male coach gets his contract in 2 weeks and a female coach, it takes 2 months to get the same contract, ooh, there's a problem. And when that problem's called out, then sometimes there could be an issue. And so it's,
did you feel you were hired just as a, like you said, a look?
And checking the box.
Yeah, checking the box. And they didn't really expect you to be so wise and so aggressive. And that's what really made them so vulnerable, made them so insecure.
Again, I don't know. I can't I can't put myself in other people's shoes. I mean, again, you know, I respect Landon a ton. You know, we are friends, but sometimes maybe friends shouldn't work together.
I just had a quick question, because you talked about a little bit about the values of the club, and it didn't really align with what you thought of or what you were about. And I did a little date. I went to your website, and your personal values, your core values, is respect, hard work, diversity, excellence, and honesty. So my specific question is, if you can speak about it, to be honest, what was that value that you saw that didn't align with what you value? Because you said, you know, you kind of went around it, but I was saying, like, what was exact, if you can speak, if
what situation what happened, you was like, no, enough is enough, man.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, because values are important for a person, for a club, for an organization, for everything. And if you're not, you know, if you don't feel that, if you feel, okay, we're supposed to be about this, and this.
Means name the values.
Her vibe. Well, these are Carrie's values.
Yeah, from my website. He's Googling website. Me.
Yeah, tell me. Respect, hard work, diversity, excellence, and honesty. Mm. So those are Carrie Taylor's core values. So I just want to know if she can speak on it, if there was, or which value did they say they were about and they weren't.
Yeah, that's a good one.
What's that?
You got five options.
I got five options. I got five options. I think it boils down to honest. I think it boils down to honesty. I think I think if someone, so let's say if I'm being harsh to someone, if I'm being too hard on somebody in the organization and my boss sees that, that person should come to me and go, hey, Carrie, like, maybe you need to work on your communication, or I have a problem with what you just did there, and not let something fester or not let something not be dealt with. Because it's just like a relationship with your wife or husband. Like, if there's something bothering you, you can't let it, you can't let it fester. You can't let it continue to build, because then at some point it's going to blow up. And, you know, that piece of we have to be honest first with ourselves, and then we have to be able to be honest with each other. And that honesty and communication, it's hard in business. It's hard to critique people. It's hard to have tough conversations. And, you know, sometimes people aren't necessarily prepared to be a manager of people and have those tough conversations. Sometimes it's, we're just going to move on. We're not going to talk about it. And that's not healthy. That's not healthy for anyone. So again, you know, any sports organization, you set these core values and you set your mission, but you can't just have it painted on the wall. Like, you actually have to be intentional about working with the people in your organization to go through of like, what does, you know, excellence look like, and how do we achieve excellence, or what does respect look like? How do we learn to respect each other and learn to, you know, have honest, constructive conversations? So, you know, it's not just within San Diego Loyal. It's within any sport organization. Like, you have to be able to walk the walk. And I am definitely not perfect. I've made a ton of mistakes in my career. You know, I've been a club director and tried to set culture and core values. And, you know, I've learned really tough lessons along the way. So, you know, again, no one's perfect.
It's interesting because you speak about, I mean, if you want to sum it all up, lip service, right? Words versus actions. Mm-hmm. And then you talk about communication. And you hear, you know, the saying, communication is key. Personally, I think comprehension is key, because you can communicate all you want. If the person doesn't understand it, it's not resonating, it's just talking to a wall, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's how a lot of people find they're miscommunicating with other people, and then miscommunicating. They're just not taking the time to actually comprehend what's being said on both sides. Yeah. So that's interesting that, you know, that side of the five values, I'm sure there's more, but that's the five, that's the one that you wanted to touch on right there. I would actually probably, I don't want to speak for you. You don't have to respond yes or no, but it sounds from what you're saying, a little bit of respect might have been missing. You highlighted the example of, you know, a male coach getting his contract in 2 weeks versus a female getting hers in 2 months or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, so there's an element of respect as well that could fall under that. I'm not going to speak for you. This is my.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's something that, you know, I don't want to speak for you guys either, but that's an element of, you know, being either a woman or a person of color within life and within sports. It's almost like you always have to continue to fight for respect. And, you know, I'll share a story. I was in Charlotte this past weekend, and I was picking up boxes from the soccer office, and I'm picking up the box, and this guy looked at me. He's like, "Oh, are you a soccer mom?" And I was like, "No, I'm actually, like, you know, the operations director for this professional club. Nice to meet you." Wow. And like,
fired.
Sometimes people don't understand the lack of respect that they put out there. I think it's, you know, people have blind spots, and they don't realize sometimes, you know, if someone goes, "Carrie, don't take that so personally." Well, you know, what is that? Like, that's,
I can't tell you how to receive it either. Right.
Right. And so, like, there's, I think, like, respect, yes, is a big thing, that is consistently, you know, if you're different, you have to consistently prove yourself, and you have to, like, it's not like I can walk into a room and people automatically respect me. Whereas, you know, I'll be honest, Landon walks into a room and people automatically respect him. So it's like, there's.
Yeah, but he earned that as well, right? Because when I walk into a room, I'm not going to get the same respect Landon's going to give. And unfortunately, that's how people, they judge. And you know, you have the situation where people are celebrities and stuff like that. So I definitely understand what you're saying, but.
Yeah.
You know.
But here's my point. He walks into a room as a coach and they automatically respect him. He's coached 1 year. I've coached since I was 15. Yeah. I have an A license. I've coached college. I've coached professionally. I get called a soccer mom and I have to prove that I know what I'm doing and that I can say, you know, here's what I need the wingbacks to do, or here's the run that I need you to make, versus you're a professional player and you've done amazing things and scored goals in World Cups. That's great. But does that make you
a great coach?
A coach. Yeah.
No, but go ahead, Gooch.
No, I said, no, I was agreeing with it.
Yeah. I mean, I totally understand that. And I definitely, you know, I would love to know, how did your experience at San Diego Loyal help you transition into what you're doing currently now and the success you have now?
Yeah, I mean, it taught me a lot about myself. I mean, I kind of did a deep self-reflective dive during COVID and tried to look at my blind spots and tried to look at how can I become a better human, how I can interact differently with people. It also, you know, helping put a club on the field within less than 6 months has kind of given me, you know, the mental, the skill set to, you know, help what I'm doing in Stumptown AC with NISA. Yeah. You know, like we're literally, the coach is there now, you know, I'm online, like doing contracts, doing this here. You know, I was in Charlotte last weekend. We had a tryout, you know, he flew in the day of, I had everything ready for him. So like that whole, having gone through doing tryouts, you know, for a professional team here in San Diego, having gone through, like, this is how you sign players. This is how you, you know, do the, you know, TMS online for players that played overseas. So it's really prepared me, and given me a good, a better skill set, for actually, you know, not less coaching and more logistics and front office type stuff. And I'm continuing to learn. And then with the, you know, the new Women's Pro League project, I think I'm trying to rely on all of the roles that I've had in my life to kind of, to utilize those skills for that project. And, you know, super exciting, trying to be, talking to all these clubs across the country. There's a real interest in having a Division II Women's Pro League, and, you know, just super excited and honored to actually be the one, you know, helping drive it. So.
Dude, she's first in everything, brother.
Yeah. Listen, she's the real deal. Honestly, you're the real deal. And
when
the announcement came out that you were, and actually I want to know like how involved NISA is, but when you were taking part of this new women's league, I was like, yeah, it makes sense. Like, we have the MLS, we have the USL, we have all these opportunities on a professional level for the men's side, but then the women's, they have the NWSL, and then everything else is like semi-pro.
Amateur,
semi-pro. So I think this is unbelievable. And I know that from the female community, it's like, it's made the chatter, right? Everyone's talking about it.
Yeah. Even from, sorry, Coach, I didn't mean to cut you off. Even from our club, we're going to have a women's team. Starting this year. Yeah, we're having a women's team starting
this
year.
I'm calling you.
Yeah, call me. Call me. We're having a women's team this year. It's amateur, but we have talked. Hopefully, next year, we want to be in the, you know, the WSR, in that league. So we're not at quite the NWSL. You know, that level yet, but we're definitely, you know,
Bees, we're gonna talk. We're gonna get you going on this. And
yeah, for sure, because we're gonna have they're gonna, you know, our women's team is gonna be the same as our men's. They're gonna, you know, everything that our men's have, our women are gonna have the same. You know, there's no difference. There's no only thing different now is they're gonna be amateur, and our men's team is gonna be a step above that. But as far as how we treat them, what they will have access to, everything will be the same on both sides. So I'm really excited to start our women's program. So it's gonna be nice. Really,
yeah,
nice.
That's great to hear.
How is NISA involved? Like, is it gonna be, I know it's a combination of both leagues, but is it gonna end up being NISA Women's Professional League, or like how?
Yeah, so basically the structure is, so I work for Club 9 Sports, which is like a sports consulting agency, and they you know, run NISA. They have people that run NISA and everything. Mm-hmm. So it's basically an alliance between NISA and UWS. but it's the pro league is going to be an entity that stands all into itself. So we'll be launched in a new name, a new logo, all of that in the near future.
Awesome.
And basically the alliance piece is that, you know, it's open to anyone. So it doesn't matter if you're a UWS team, a WPSL team, whether you're a NISA franchise that wants to add a women's side, whether you're a non-affiliate, you know, a USL, hey, if a USL club wants to put a team in, like, we don't have any problem with that. USL might, but that's not my issue to figure out. So, you know, it's open to anyone. It's not like we're just taking UWS franchises and moving them, or clubs and moving them up. It's open. NISA's relation is that we're going to kind of model our season around how NISA does it. So like the fall to spring, mm-hmm. with the championship at the end of the spring. Right. We've learned a lot of lessons. We've kind of modeled our operating budgets off of lessons that NISA's learned. So it's a lot of sharing of information and different things like that. And, you know, the hope is, you know, again, the women's league will be open to anyone, but the hope is that every NISA team eventually has a women's team as well, that, you know, like that type of even, mm-hmm. equitable, like you said, Bees, like what the men's team has, the women's team has. So, you know, that it takes money, it takes extra time and investment, but, you know, imagine having double headers and you can cut down, you can share office staff, you know, you can cut down some of your costs, you can have back-to-back training, you can have, you know, your teams traveling together to, you know, from Indiana to Detroit to go play, and just really have that overarching, you know, more club atmosphere. And, you know, you mentioned, Gooch, that there's chatter among the women. There should be. Like, if you think about it, there's only 10 professional women's teams in the entire U.S. 10. So there's over, I did some research, and if you total up Division 1, 2, and 3 college programs, there's over 1,000. Yeah. And it's like, and that's not counting junior college or NAIA programs. Like, there are over 1,000 women's college soccer programs. Like, where do those women go?
Right.
They go overseas, or they go to the 10 teams, or they play in the women's amateur league. And, you know, like when I graduated from Michigan, there wasn't a pro league. I played women's amateur, and, you know, I would literally get in my car and drive to Chicago to play a game, you know, scraping together pennies for gas money just because I still wanted to play. And, you know, that, it's time. My shirt says the future is female, you know, like it's time. And the, you know, if you look at the purchase power of women, like women hold the purchase power in, you know,
everything.
They spend the money. Like, let's be real, whether you're gay, straight, whatever, like the women spend the money. So like, why are we not having more women's sports? Why are we not having, why aren't sponsors investing more money in women's sports? Like, why aren't women's sports on TV more? So I could talk about this for hours and hours and hours.
That's your passion. But, you see that you're passionate about it, and as you should be, but I think this is fantastic. You know, as you said, there's only 10 professional teams, and I don't know, some teams are falling off, some teams are being added, et cetera. So I think more access, more opportunities is great. What were you going to say, Mook?
I was just saying, listen, the future is female, but more importantly, the future is Carrie Taylor, right?
There you go.
So Carrie, I mean, you have so much for our listeners to keep up with you. So can you please give a little info on how they can follow you? And also, can you please plug your fantastic podcast as well?
Oh, sure. So my podcast is called Women Talking Soccer. You can find it, I don't know, on all the podcast things. I'm just the talent. I don't do any of the other stuff. I just talking to them.
See, are you telling you more like Landon Donovan of the podcast, where you just come in and?
Well, on podcasts, I am, because I don't know Spotify and YouTube and all that stuff. I'm whatever. I have a producer that does that for me. But the podcast is in conjunction with a group called Women in Soccer. That was launched just this past fall. It's a free online kind of connected, like LinkedIn type thing for women. So you can check out Women in Soccer. And then, yeah, I mean, I'm on Twitter and Instagram. I think it's C Maybe CR Taylor 4 underscore CR Taylor 4 or whatever. I don't know. You can find, I mean, B's just Googled me and found my website. Yeah.
I did my homework.
No, that's great. Yeah. You can find me, you know, there's articles out there. It was so funny. My boyfriend's mom the other day said, I Googled you. I didn't know you like did all this stuff. I just thought you were like coaching kids. And I was like, yeah,
that's how Mookie is with us. Don't worry about it.
Well, listen, I just want to say thank you so much for making the time, but same time, I would like to also invite you back on to kind of follow up on the progression of the league,
as well as the
club and the many other things you're going to get into, but your family of the Crack Podcast.
Oh, you know? Thank you.
So keep spreading those core values too.
A sticker. I have a sticker for my podcast, so I'll get your addresses
you
and
go.
I'll send you guys a little swag from my podcast. Word. Yeah, no, and I want to say thank you to all of you, like, you know, just for all the wonderful things you guys are doing within the game and just as far as, you know, your lives being spent in the game and being amazing people and just, you know, thank you. And it's great to be, it's finally great to meet you. I've heard a lot of things about you and All good. So just, you know, it takes good people like all of us just to kind of cut through some of the bullshit, to be honest. And so, you know, just keep doing awesome things. So I appreciate all of you as well.
Thank you. We appreciate you.
All right. Take care, Carrie.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah.
There you have it. Then. Carrie Taylor.
Yeah, when I went to her website, yo, it was she's a writer, she's a coach, she's a mentor. Now she's a director. She does it all. I mean, literally, she's done it all and she's doing it all. So yeah. For women, for the sport in general, for just soccer in general, what she's doing is pretty amazing. So we're definitely gonna watch out for Carrie and see what she comes up in the future.
Definitely. Gooch, please take us away.
Well, I don't even know how much I can say after everything Carrie said. I mean, big ups to her and what she's doing with the women. As she said, women are the future. Hopefully men can trail in behind somewhere around there, but I don't know. Catch us next time. Follow us, subscribe, like, comment, all that stuff, so we can continue making these unfiltered podcasts and shows that y'all love. All right.
And B's, what do we gotta say?
I gotta say peace.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.